Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Lowe's do-it-yourself projects. Go to Lowe's.com. I just finished my bar cart. Used it last night. Had a little mini party at the house last night. There's two people. There's no big deal. You got to stay active. You got to keep moving, Joy. Then I told him to be quiet because I had to watch an hour of NBA. You know, I set the rules at the house. It's one of those unwritten rules.
Oh, my God. Enough with these unwritten rules.
Chris Spielman, do you know he's the first high school athlete to have his picture on the box of Wheaties? Forget the fact that he's a college All-American, a Hall of Famer, and then he played in the NFL for a decade and was a four-time All-Pro. I think the Wheaties thing is pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Isn't it? He's joining us now from Columbus, Ohio, home of the Buckeyes. Great college football program. So, Justin Fields, I said the other day, I said, man, if I'm Justin Fields, I'm not sure if I want to play in January, February, March, and then turn around and have the combine in the draft. I'm not sure. And then he goes out and does a petition. So, obviously, he's all in. What did you make of the petition by Justin Fields? It kind of caught me off guard because if he would have opted out, I would have totally understood.
Well, I would have understood it too. And if I'm Ryan Day, I would never ask Justin Fields to be part of a season that's in the spring or the winter because I wouldn't want to jeopardize his future. But I think, you know, the players are finding their voice, and Justin decided to use his voice and his stature within the game of college football to take a stand for something that not only he believes in, but many college football players believe in, especially in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten.
Yeah. You know, what do you make of spring football, Chris? You were a very physical guy. Like, I could justify it. I could say, okay, we're going to play January, February, first week of March, no spring ball, light cardio-only summer workouts, then fall and football. That feels right for a 20-year-old athlete. Your body recovers quickly. But you tell me, could you play January, February, early March, and then play again in September?
I think it's smart for the FCS schools and maybe some of the non-Power 5 conferences to try to pull off some type of spring schedule. I think if you're talking about a program like Ohio State or Penn State or Michigan, and you have guys that are interested in playing in the NFL, I would advise against it. I just think that's a lot of football to play pads in over an 8-month period. You know, the problem that they have, Colin, is you think about it, if you don't play a game since 2019, the next game you play in, a real game where there's action and other guys hitting you from other teams, is going to be in an NFL training camp. You're going to be behind those guys from the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 that hopefully will have a chance to play this year.
Yeah. I said this. My daughter, although athletic kid, is a non-college athlete. I would feel better if she roomed with a college athlete because I know they're getting tested four times a week, whereas the average college student, I don't trust them as much. I think there's a certain peer pressure when you're part of an athletic team to support your teammates and your coaches and be more responsible. I think the average college athlete is more responsible than the average college student. Is that a bunch of hooey, or do you buy that?
Well, I'm actually living it as a parent. My daughter, Macy, is a basketball player at Bowling Green. I couldn't wait for her to get up to Bowling Green, but I just would watch her behavior around the house and the responsibility that she was taking, not necessarily to protect us, although I'd like to think so, protect dad, you know, but I think to protect her teammates and the responsibility that she felt toward them being her best. And so she would eat dinner in a separate room, even though she didn't have to. She would wear a mask around the house, even though we were COVID-free around here. But she did it out of the respect for her teammates, and she understood the concept of sacrifice and what you give will grow and what you keep you lose. She's been brought up and trained with that mindset that it's always about the team.
I just love that. I love to hear that story.
That's good parenting, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's but it's funny, you know, this is the argument I've made. Joy was an athlete, and I do think a college athlete is more responsible because you feel a peer pressure. You don't want to let your teammates down. You don't want to let your coaches down. I mean, you know, kids like to make their mentors and their parents happy most of the time, and I think there's a real pressure there that kids, athletic kids, live by, and your daughter's a great point of that. Now, I want to shift to the NFL. You live in Ohio. I've been tough on Baker Mayfield. The other day he admitted, he said, I lost myself. I didn't get to work out as much. And should I take that as maturity, or should I say, good Lord, he lost himself in year two? How do you lose yourself? I get year 12, year two. What do I take from Baker's comments?
Well, I think he's been humbled, right? And I think the other thing that has stunted Baker Mayfield's growth as a quarterback is he's going to be in his third offense in 3 years. But if it is true what he's saying, if his actions back up his words, I do think he has the talent. And he has the number one physical attribute that I look in a quarterback. I don't know what everybody else's is, but mine is accuracy. And he certainly has some weapons to throw the ball to and a pretty good running back when healthy in Nick Chubb. So everybody wants Baker. I want Baker to do well. I root for all these guys. But you have to be, if you want to be great at that position, you have to be, in my opinion, you have to be Tom Brady, where you got to commit totally to being an NFL quarterback, not just during the season or not just during OTAs, but that's a 365-day marriage right there. Every year, you got to commit to being your best every single day. That's the responsibility of a quarterback to a football team.
You know, Brady is... Russell Wilson and Brady, to me, live that life. Drew, I remember one time I was at ESPN, and it was like June, and I'm working out in the gym, and Drew Brees is next to me, and he's on the air in about an hour, and I'm like, aren't you on the air? And he's like, oh, I got to get a workout in. And I'm like, yeah. You got your Super Bowl. Like, you're like 38 years old. Did you ever play with a guy in the NFL? And I know you were committed, but did you ever play with a guy that had some Brady qualities where you were like, oh my God, like he lives it day, night, family. How many guys are like that?
I think probably I would say 30%. But a lot of them are the quarterbacks because they understand the value to the team and the position that they play. Just because I was like that and maybe 20 or 30% of the other guys were like that, there's more than one ways to get it done. But for me, I knew what worked for me. I know if I wanted to have my play at the highest level possible, I had to commit 365 days a year to being the best possible linebacker that I could be. If I did not do that, then I was not living up to the standard that I set for myself or that I set for my teammates. And I promised them that commitment. And I might have not have been the most liked guy on the team, Colin, but I guarantee you I was one of the most respected because I never changed.
Yeah. You know, speaking of not being liked, I see these old NFL films and Aikman's barking at guys and Peyton Manning's barking at guys.
Yeah,
and it's interesting. There's been some reports that Cam Newton, you know, was not barked at in Carolina, and Belichick's a barker. And that, you know, Tom Brady could deal with it. Tim Duncan could deal with it. A lot of people don't want to be yelled at in front of their teammates. And I've said this before, I know people inside that Carolina organization, and they told me Cam is tough, he plays hurt all the time, but criticism publicly may not be great. Did you play, your thoughts about Cam in New England and that situation, and did you play with guys who were more sensitive? The public criticism from the coach didn't land right.
Yeah, I think Cam is a unique story because Cam is at a crossroads. And so what worked for Cam before may not work for Cam now. So Cam may be open to being coached differently. From my own personal experience, Wayne Fonts would threaten to send me home on a bus if I would touch or hit Barry Sanders in practice again. And Wayne Fonts and I are from the same hometown, and he played against my dad. So I get all that. But I think Cam right now is all he wants to do is to get better. And if players – and this is, you know, this is a pet peeve of mine – and kids today, if we lessen and not hold players and even children that are athletes or high school players that are football players or basketball players, if we don't hold them to the standard that they set, then we are doing a disservice. My opinion of Cam, he's an MVP quality type guy, but can he come back from the injuries? And I think Cam understands that this is my shot. And if Belichick's going to yell at me, he can yell at me all he wants because all I want to do is win, and certainly Bill Belichick has that track record of winning Super Bowls.
You know, it is interesting. Cam's been beat up physically, and again, he's played through a lot of injuries. If I recall, you had a neck injury where you basically couldn't play. When you get to be an older player, you still want to play in the games, It is interesting because I got some old quarterbacks here, and the reason they've lasted is because they haven't gotten hurt a lot. For the average, I saw Gerald McCoy is now going to be out for the year. When you're 33, 34, you're getting older and you're playing NFL football. Does your body tell you it's over, or do you have to be talked into it? Like, you were, I think, more severe. Your neck injury was more severe, but you saw a lot of guys that just dropped out that could have played. What is the psychology for a Cam or an older player that's taken a lot of hits?
The psychology for me came from our great philosopher of our time, Bill Laimbeer. When Bill Laimbeer retired, Bill Laimbeer said, "I am despising myself. I don't want to become the player that I despise." So if you're intellectually honest with yourself and you're watching film of yourself, you know what you're doing well and you know what you're not doing well. So that's when you have to make an individual choice and decision. Am I just hanging on to hang on, or I got to be honest and I can't do it anymore? So I think a lot of guys go through that within themselves and emotionally to make that decision. And once they accept reality, usually guys make the right decision based on the fact that they don't want to become a player that they despise.
Yeah. A lot of guys quit the NFL and they don't lift weights anymore. You look like you still lift weights. You still lift?
I'm a big health fanatic. I mean, you know a little bit about my family's history, and I want my kids to be healthy and, if at all possible, to live a healthy lifestyle. So, like anything, Colin, my actions need to solidify my words. You know, I'm not going to go tell my daughter to get in there and give me 10 miles on a Peloton if I haven't done 10 miles myself. And so, I think that's the way, in my opinion. That's one way to lead, that your actions solidify your words.
You know, that's why I don't buy a Peloton, because then I would have
exactly.
To, yeah. So I just avoid that Peloton thing from the very beginning. Chris Spielman, Fox Sports NFL analyst. Great seeing you. Look great. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Oh, thank you, brother. Anytime. I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Chris Spielman. Awesome stuff. One thing that hasn't changed this year, we depend on our cars, especially in the summer. They overheat. Go to carshield.com. The code is HERD. Carshield.com, code HERD. 10% off a deductible may apply. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the HERD Line News.
Okay. This has been making me crazy all day. So the Padres' Fernando Tatis Jr. Hit his first career grand slam last night.
Awesome! Awesome!
Congratulations, woo-hoo! Fernando. Woo! Nope, everyone's mad about it.
What?
He swung at a 3-0 pitch while his team had a 7-run lead over the Rangers in the 8th inning. After the game, the Rangers manager, Chris Woodward, said he did not like it. He said baseball norms are being challenged on a daily basis.
Norms. Oh, my God.
Norms. That's progressive. San Diego's manager, Jay Singler, wasn't thrilled with the move either, saying Tatis missed a sign to take the pitch, and he will use this as a learning experience.
Yeah, no more grand slams.
So he violated an unwritten rule.
Are there unwritten rules in broadcasting? Don't swear on the air, but that's
not an unwritten. That's an actual rule. It's an actual rule.
Goulet, what's an unwritten rule of producing this marvelous show?
I mean, here's the thing. It's not Little League, right? If you're a pro, you play to win.
And get paid
like
and
it,
deliver.
Stop them from winning.
Time out. Don't these guys have bonuses in their contracts for home runs and RBIs and batting average?
No lead that is too big in the pros. It's nonsense. It's like the idea that you're running up the score. There's no running up the score in anything that's professional. You get paid to do that. If you don't like it, stop them. You can barely get baseball players to follow actual rules. And you want to enforce this code of unwritten rules.
Here's what's
of
amazing.
Honor.
For 10 years, you were taking cattle steroids, and you were good with it, and you defended it. But the unwritten rule is the one that crosses the line.
Oh, no, then
you got to throw
at them. You got to keep them in line. No unwritten rules. There's a way we play this game. When did baseball become like this king's sport? Like, I love baseball, but this is nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. Make it make sense, Colin. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, to me, baseball has an individual tenor to it. Like, it does matter. You can get bonuses for saves and wins, and we monitor innings pitched and RBIs. The kid hit a jack. He may end up hitting a bonus off that. Like, get him out. It's not his problem.
It's not his problem. Stop being fun suckers. Can we just enjoy the young talents and excitement and fun?
Remember the Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, to his credit, they did a commercial.
Let the kids play. Let us play.
Let the kids play. That was the commercial in the offseason for baseball. And why did they do that? Because Rob Manfred was sending a signal, lighten up. Brian McCann, the catcher, formerly the Braves and Yankees, is like standing at home plate if you stared at your home run. Brian McCann, you're not good enough to do that. Like, you're not a good enough player to dictate what I can do after I jack it out.
Who cares? Why do you care about this?
There's a way to play the game.
It's just, look, I understand. I get the concept of it, right? Because when you learn how to play baseball, you learn it as a baby almost. Like, you're playing T-ball. You're literally still a baby. So you want to teach kids the values of sports, right, and integrity. And then you grow up, and then you realize if you're not first, you're last. So we're grown-ups now. We're adults. You're getting a paycheck. So just play the game. You play to win the game.
There's a way to host a show. There's a way to play the game. There's only one way.
It's a very romantic sport. I get it. But once you put a paycheck on romance, it's dead. So let's just enjoy the game. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
That was almost like deep and stuff.
Thank you.
You put a paycheck on love, or what was that again?
Once you put a paycheck on romance, it's dead.
Where did you get that?
It's a very romantic sport. I came up with it myself. I put a lot of thought into this unwritten rule nonsense. I hate every single part of it. I'm so over it.
What's that song? You better put a ring on it. That's different than a paycheck.
Put a ring on it?
Yeah. Well,
that's a couple paychecks. That's an investment. So first-year head coach Joe Judge is taking an old-school approach to how he's running Giants camp. He's making players and coaches run laps whenever mistakes are made.
Love it.
Saying there needs to be consequences so we learn how to deal with our mistakes.
God, I hated this. Can I tell you something I hated about football? So in high school, I don't like this. I'll tell you why. So I was a quarterback in high school, not very good. So in high school, if anybody jumped off sides, you'd have to run a lap. The whole team.
Seems like a really good use of time.
Some idiot left guard. So instead of doing audibles and having a more complex cadence, I simplified it because the idiot at left guard that kept jumping offside because I got tired of running 12 laps of practice. So the coach thought, what it created was I simplified down, set, hike. I didn't want guys jumping offsides. So my thing is, if you jump offsides in football, you're the moron. You run. The whole offense shouldn't have to run.
Okay, so yeah, I think he's making individuals
now,
run.
I'm for the individual.
Yeah,
none of this collective.
Making the whole team run is not a good use of your practice time.
If Goulet screws up another interview, why should I have to run a lap around the building at
Fox?
No,
we just have to do this in basketball practice. Like, if you make a mistake, you know, you gotta run sprints and whatever. Sterling Shepard joked that the last time he had to run laps as a penalty was probably in middle school. But he's embracing the change. You know, Joe Judge is a very, like, he's a football guy.
Yeah.
He's like run through a wall guy. You remember his opening press
conference?
It was like every football cliche that's ever been spoken. But I like it, though. Like, you do need to establish a culture.
Yes.
I'm not mad at it. I don't think it's a good use of time to make everybody run.
No, but Brian Flores is pretty intense, too. Like, if you, these Belichickian guys.
No, you have to have a standard. And I'm with it. No mistakes. Like, if you start making excuses for mistakes and they become comfortable and a normal part, and that's what you're trying to get away from. So I'm
go back to that thing you said about romance and money. What was that again? What was that?
I don't even remember what I said now.
Once you put a paycheck
now I forgot it.
On romance
is
dead.
Once you put a price tag on romance is dead.
I got to think a lot about that.
Baseball is a romantic sport. Once you start getting paid for it, I don't want to hear about unwritten rules.
This is like a philosophy
you
class. This isn't even sports.
To win the game. So LeBron is building up the hype for his Space Jam sequel. The film is not set to be released until summer of 2021, but he gave fans a sneak peek of what the new Toon Squad uniforms will look like yesterday. They are quite different than the original Toon
Squad
uniforms.
It looks like the old ABA, like the Florida team.
They look like, who was that hockey team that had those?
Oh, Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, right?
Those were the ugliest.
Not really, but like, I don't know why it just reminded
me of that. The Houston Astros in the 70s and the Vancouver Canucks until about 15 years ago had the most heinous uniforms ever.
There's just a lot of color in these. I don't know if I think it could use a little more balance. I actually don't hate them.
No, I don't. It's different.
Like, the internet was freaking out because everything is, you know, it's
everything's
different.
Awful.
Look, the original Toon Squad uniforms were not great. Okay, there's not a whole lot going on those ones. But I'm like, you've seen Space Jam, right?
No. I've never seen Taxi Driver.
I've never seen that either.
I've never seen Space Jam, and I didn't watch a lot of Karate Kid. Everybody watched those except
me.
What
do you mean? So you've never seen any of the Karate Kids?
No. I know who was in it. Was it Scott Baio or something like that?
Ralph Macchio.
I didn't watch. I was not into it. Bill Simmons watched everyone six times.
I feel like you should watch Space Jam.
What am I going to get out of it?
I mean, it's just like it's kind of a part of sports culture, Space Jam.
Isn't it bad?
I loved Space Jam. I've probably seen Space Jam like 30 times.
Goulet, is it any good?
As an adult, no.
Yeah, no, you're not going to enjoy it as an adult, probably.
It's a kid's movie.
I'm going to watch Mindhunter.
So that's why I'm interested. Like, I was really not sure about this reboot. I'm starting to soften towards it now. Like, I know everyone's freaking out about how bad these uniforms are for the new Toon Squad. I don't actually hate them
that much. Well, everything now is... you do a sequel to everything now.
But I just don't... do kids watch Bugs Bunny? Like, I knew who Bugs Bunny
was.
My
son watched cartoons when he was a kid. Yeah, kids watch cartoons.
Because I wonder if this new Space Jam is going to be, like, for my age demographic, who actually watched the original Space Jam.
Yeah.
Or is it going to be for young kids? I don't know.
By the way, there's only been one cartoon. And there's only one or two cartoons. John, you know the cartoon I watched.
Johnny Quest.
It all ends. Johnny Quest. If there was one cartoon, Johnny Quest. That wasn't even a cartoon. That was real life.
That's an important part of Colin Cowherd trivia that I got there.
Johnny Quest. That was a documentary. It was a morning Saturday documentary. That was real life. The one-eyed spider and the castles and the pirate ships.
Cartoons used to be really, really great.
Yeah, they were real.
Well, they were really great. I don't know how accurate
of the country, they were real. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line.
Okay,
news.
We're going to do the obnoxious NBA face bracket. The face bracket, it's atrocious and never accurate, but I think it's going to work in the NBA. That's coming up. Troubling news for companies who utilize enterprise VPN for employees working from home. Over 900 VPN servers at a large enterprise security provider were hacked. Bad news. Usernames, passwords shared on a forum used by ransomware gangs. It gave people access to corporate networks. It was a disaster. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet. Here's the good news. There's a company called LifeLock. They detect a wide range of identity theft. Like your social security number stolen, put on the dark web. If they detect it, domestic agents work to alert you immediately. They'll see stuff you can't, solve issues you would not be able to. Right now, save up to 25% off the first year by using the promo code HERD. Either call 1-800-LIFELOCK code HERD or go to lifelock.com code HERD. LifeLock.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Back by popular demand. Actually, nobody demanded it, but we loved it. The face bracket. Now, we nailed it this year with Mahomes. What we do is we pick the games and we just take the best player. We don't talk about coaching, bench. We just take the best player in every series and his face, and then we move through it. Just the best player. It doesn't matter about anything else, the best player. So let's play our face bracket NBA playoff style. So first round, it's LeBron against Dame. Well, LeBron's 52-10 career in the first round. He's a much bigger athlete. He's better defensively. And this year he led the NBA in assists. LeBron wins that face. He's the best face there. Harden, Chris Paul. I love Chris Paul, but it's a three-man's game. Harden's great at it. Harden has won three straight scoring titles. He's a more dangerous offensive weapon, though I love, as a pure point, Chris Paul. Then it's Jokic over Donovan Mitchell. Jokic and the Nuggets were 4-0 against the Jazz this year, and Jokic absolutely lit him up. 30 a game, 11 assists. By the way, Wilt Chamberlain's the only other center with 500-plus assists in a year. Jokic is doing something all-time. He's what they call a point center. And as much as I like Donovan Mitchell last night, Jokic, I think, makes everybody on that team better. I'm not sure Donovan makes – I'm not even sure if he and Gobert get along anymore. Giannis over the – yeah. Oh, no, my bad. Kawhi over Luka. All you need to know is this. When Kawhi played for the Clippers this year, they were 42-16. They were a 500 team without him. Not that close. Let's go to the Eastern Conference. Giannis over Nikola. What's his last name again? Vucevic. Yeah, that's not close. I mean, Giannis is the first player to score 29, 13, 5, 8.5 rebounds since Wilt. That's not real close. By the way, Orlando is leading Milwaukee in this game, by the way, at half. Then Butler and T.J. Warren. It should be noted that T.J. Warren got shut down by the Miami Heat this year. T.J. Warren was not good against Miami this year. That goes to Jimmy Butler. T.J. Warren averaged 10 points a game and 1 assist against the Heat. So Jimmy Butler's the better player there. I'm going to take Tatum over Embiid. Physically, he's better. He shoots the 3 ball, and that's what the league is right now. He's the youngest Celtic, by the way, ever. 30-plus points, 10-plus rebounds in a playoff game, and I can just depend on him. I also think he's an ascending player. I think Embiid is what he is. I think I get a more committed player who can score more ways with Tatum. And then I'm going to take Siakam over LeVert. Pascal Siakam, career high. There's an ascending player. He averaged 22.5, career high, 7.5 rebounds, 7.5 rebounds, career high, assists 3.5. Siakam's like better every year in every category. So he's about a year away from being like high-level all-star. Second round, LeBron over Harden. LeBron's a much better defensive player. He's a bigger, stronger athlete. He's also led the NBA in assists. Harden elevates Harden. LeBron elevates everybody. Kawhi over Jokic. Kawhi against the Nuggets this year, it was a monster. Clippers had a winning record against them. And again, I think Kawhi's ability to defend everybody makes him a transformative player. He stopped Giannis last year. Kawhi as a defensive player is a demon. He's a great get-a-stop guy. Then I'll take Giannis over Butler. I don't think he's the great rim protector. He's a wing offensive player, but defensively he'll shut you down. He's more consistently great on the defensive end, so I take Giannis over Butler. Do I take Tatum over Siakam? He's a better long-range shooter.
It's very close.
It's very close. They're both emerging. And I do love Tatum, so I'm going to be loyal to me. Well, I love Tatum, so I'm just going to be loyal to me on this. Tatum still has bad games, but I think he can put the ball on the deck. So now here's our conference NBA face bracket. Okay, I'm not talking most valuable. That's not what I'm talking here. Who is better defensively, Kawhi or LeBron? Kawhi, it's not close. Who is a guaranteed bucket late in the game? I think it's Kawhi is the best get-a-bucket, get-a-stop player currently in the NBA. I'm not talking value. LeBron's more valuable because Kawhi can miss a game and the Clippers would still have a winning record. If LeBron didn't play, I'm not sure the Lakers are a playoff team. And then Giannis over Tatum. He's more consistently dominant, especially on the defensive end. And then I'm going to take Kawhi over Giannis because I saw him play last year. Kawhi has more ways to score than Giannis. I think I saw Kawhi dominate the matchup when he was with Toronto last year. And my face bracket has Kawhi Leonard. Now, it's funny because you know I love LeBron.
Right, so are you saying Kawhi is a better player than LeBron?
Kawhi is the best get-a-bucket, get-a-stop player in his prime. Kawhi is better defensively. Kawhi is in his athletic prime. Kawhi is not the distributor. He doesn't have the gravitas of LeBron. But I will say this. If basketball in the playoffs is situational, Kawhi right now to me is the best situational basketball player in the world. I need 2 points. Kawhi is my choice. I need a stop. I'm not sure LeBron could stop Harden. I'm not sure he could. Kawhi can stop Giannis, Siakam, Tatum, everybody. And by the way, LeBron has struggled against the Clippers. Kawhi owned the Clippers this year. That's my face bracket. Dumb as it is, there it is. Lowe's do-it-yourself project. Go to Lowe's.com. Lowe's.com. Do it yourself. My bar cart is officially finished. Speak for yourself. The fellas all geared up. Coming up next.